God has laid on my heart for a little bit. And I do encourage, please stay and be a part of the Christmas fellowship today. Everybody's invited. You can't eat a free meal. Amen. I didn't get it anywhere else. I promise you, if you go to that steakhouse, they're at least going to want $20 from you. I promise you. Amen. That's without the tip. That's if you get a small steak or something. So, anyhow, I know you just go to the folks, they leave me a part of it. It's good to see everybody. Good to see Dale back with us.
Yay!
You replace with amen. I'm glad that she's back with us. And I appreciate everybody that's here today, all visitors. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And we just I'm a country. I say country folk, but I guess we're all country folk. Amen. A country of heart, anyhow. We're just down to earth people. Amen. Just want to worship God and do what we can for his kingdom. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 18. Yesterday at men's fellowship, Brother Shane ruined my message today, folks. Amen. I thought to myself, that's the unique thing about the Christmas season. Hey, there's so much Christmas stuff to preach and teach about. Hey, there's so much, a lot actually, but sometimes there's certain things we have hit yesterday. Brother Shane got up there during the devotion. He said, turn to Matthew chapter 1. I said, you better not. Amen. I said, you better leave verse 18 alone at least. He said, verse 18. I said, maybe we'll just read one verse. And boy, he just flipped every stone. And so, anyhow, we are going to preach the same thing today, but different. Amen. I know, how many knows you can preach the same topic with just different directions?
That's right.
Amen. I promise you, there's so much in this word. I just enjoyed it yesterday as well. So much good stuff. I wish everybody could have been there. I wouldn't have to lay a foundation. We could get you out of here in 20 minutes. Amen. But I will try in 2 hours if the Lord's in. Just joking, of course. Matthew 1 and 18, this is what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privily, which is also mean privately. Matthew 1 and 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to preach to you, and this little sub-series, I guess you could call it, may get us to Christmas, but I want to preach to you for the next several weeks on the fear nots of the first nativity. The fear nots of the first nativity. And today is going to be part one of this, and if I was to title this first part, it's just simply this, fear not Joseph. Amen. Next week, Lord willing, unless God changes our direction, we're going to preach on fear not Mary. Then we're going to talk about the shepherds and how, oh, we're going to fear not. So for all you preachers, if you get to say anything, that's where I'm going. Leave those three alone. Amen. Just joking. But anyhow, today I want to look at this story and how important it is that we fear not. And when it comes to our calling and what God has called us to do. Now, we look at this today and we all understand in this story. And when I was preparing for this message, I honestly felt an overwhelming sense of God's presence dealing with this. Because in this, I began to see a picture of some of the fears that I've had in my own life. Amen. Has anybody ever had any fear before? Amen. I'm not just talking about the boogeyman. I'm talking about real fears. I'm talking about when you're asked to do something or when you have to tread certain waters and go over certain, come through certain valleys of life. There is a natural fear that is inside of us. Now, I want to say this today. I want you to get this opening statement here today because it is thoroughly important. Our calling and our fears often collide when we walk with the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Our calling and our fears often collide when it comes to doing the will of God. Now, we can all agree that this path that we are on, the spiritual journey that we are on, it involves twists and turns. It involves things of the road that we do not understand, amen. Has God ever put you in a place or you ever been in a situation where you didn't understand really what was going on? Anybody ever been there before? Amen. We've been there. That this life, this walk, life, it takes turns. It takes shifts. It takes tragedies. And so many things in our lives. And often, we find that God calls us to a certain place. But in that place that He calls us, oftentimes we find ourselves fearing. The unexpected things. Things that we don't understand. And has anybody ever done this before? I ask you this as well. If you ever got up the road, spiritually speaking here, in a year up the road, you're able to look back and you begin to understand the who, the where, the when, and the why. Anybody ever been there before? Where at that moment you looked around and all you could see was the issue, all you could see was the problem. All you could see was the calling and the present circumstance. But as you got up the road, you look back and you realize, man, God worked that to my good. Amen. So we notice this today. I've had people telling us before, as believers, you should never fear. And I know that that is a great command. I know that. But oftentimes, that is not realistic. I have been in fearful places. If you don't believe me, I'd love to take you to the Rift Valley in Tanzania, Africa. Yeah, believe me. You don't just run around and start saying, look, give me that spear. You move over here. You hush up. No, you're over there. Be honest with you. You're walking timidly. Be honest with you. You don't want to say the wrong things. You don't want to have a javelin in your back, so to speak. Amen. You're out there. There ain't cell phone reception. There's no electricity. And you know they're in a hospital. There's a witch doctor somewhere around, but I ain't got much confidence in him. Amen. I have confidence in God. What I'm saying is life and our calling and the will of God often puts us in fearful places. And we know that in the Bible, I am glad that it tells us to fear not. Anybody else glad about that? Aren't you glad that it said it? I've read this before, that it mentions it around 366 times. That it alludes to the fact of not to fear or to fear not. I'm glad that the Bible puts great emphasis on that, because there are fearful places in this world in which we walk. So here today, we're going to make some quick observations. Some things that we can look at today that I want you to understand and get in your spirit. Number one today, God calls and uses men and women to do His will on earth. And that's elementary. Does everybody understand that? God uses men and women on earth to do His will. We can look at Mary, we can look at Joseph, and we can understand that. But another observation I can make is this. Oftentimes, the calling is something that we fear in the natural because we are humans. Another observation we can make is this. Is that God knows us. Amen. That God knows us. That means He always agrees with us, but He knows us. He knows that there are times in life. He knows there's places and things you've got to go through that you are going to be fearful in that situation. Aren't you glad we've got a God that knows us and sees us and understands us, that He don't just look at us and say, man, you should have been brave, or you should have more courage. No, He looks at us and says, look, I know you're afraid, but I've got a message for you, young man. I got a message for you, lady. Don't you fear the situation, because I am in control. And God, in His providence and in His mercy, He makes provision for our encouragement even in the midst of our fears. Now, that is amazing to me, that even though He knows that our calling is spiritual, and He knows from a human perspective we have to go through things, aren't you glad that God makes provision for our encouragement in the midst of our trial and situation and in the midst of our calling? He makes provision for that. But I'm going to say this observation, and we're going to move forward as well. After God makes provision, you've got to obey the command not to fear, and you've got to go forward. There's some people for 50 years are probably standing there and won't do the will of God, and probably now, if it's been that long, you probably can't do the will of God like He wants. You're standing there, I would have done it, but I was afraid. When God gives you a message of fear not, it's not for you to mull over that for 6 more months and say, Lord, I will obey you. When God says fear not, He's letting you know, look, I understand your son. I know what you're going through, daughter. But listen to this. You have got to go forward. I am depending on this. I am needing you. And even though I could go elsewhere if I had to, I'm looking at you with a calling. And when I say fear not, don't you know you don't have to argue about it for 6 months? You ain't got to pray about it for 4 months. Look, you can get over. I'm telling you, you can trust me. You can have confidence in me, and you can walk forward in this walk with God. I'm over this belief. When God tells us to fear not, and we decide and we choose to live in that fearful position, even though I believe His grace is there trying to help us along the way, if you persist in your fear, it can become a sin. You know the Bible speaks in one place, the fearful shall not inherit the kingdom of God either. Look at the book of Revelation. That means when you live in persistent fear. And what about today? If I was still 9 years ago and said, Lord, I can't preach, I'm afraid. Come on now. What if I'm sitting there saying, Lord, I would preach, but I'm so scared. I've said this before. I wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't have the family that I have. I wouldn't be be in the situation. Amen. I've learned that even though I fear, I still gotta move forward in life when God tells me to fear not. And we look at this today. What is fear? You know what it is, basically, the context of it. But the Greek word for fear in the Bible is the word phobos there. And it's actually where we get that word phobia from. Has anybody ever heard of phobia before? Anybody ever heard of claustrophobia? I think everybody's got that. I've told my wife several times, I said, look, make sure I'm dead before I'm in that casket. Amen. I told her, maybe I can tell her again. Amen. Look, make sure I'm dead before I'm in that casket. Amen. I could not imagine being buried alive. Could you not be able to move? No, nobody's going to hear you. And that's, I can't stand it. I'm telling you. You know, I've been with people, I'm not this fast, but I've been with people on the elevator. They want to be close to that door. Amen. They don't want to be in that corner. They can't stand the idea of being boxed in. I'm cornered in some houses before to fix a few things. And I don't know if I fix them right or not. But I tell you, I thought to myself, man, I hate to live under here. It'd be a tough place to be because I don't like the idea. I'm claustrophobic, and you are naturally in a sense as well. Have you ever heard of arachnophobia?
Yeah.
I don't like spiders. Anybody else here love spiders? You ever seen people got them tarantulas as pets? I'm not saying it's an evil thing, but I'll tell you this, I don't want one in my room. I don't want one in my house. I kill spiders. I can do it for a living. Man, you ever notice when you walk through a spider web, I often say this, I've heard it before, when you walk through a spider web, you instantly become a ninja. Amen. I mean, kicking and chomping and twisting and everything. You move in ways you never thought you could. Why is it? Because you're afraid that little critter, that little insect is somewhere on your back somewhere, or it's got down your clothing somewhere. You don't want that creature. You know, it ain't like you're sitting there saying, oh, I hope he just lives there and has a good time on my shoulder. We are arachnophobic. We don't like things like that. There's a lot of things in this world that we can be afraid of. Now, I know the things are just kind of common. But in reality today, there's things in this life that you can be afraid of. There's things in this life that you look at that and you avoid that. Because the reason you avoid that is because you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of failure. And if you're not careful, when it comes to your walk with God, you can be so afraid of failure. You can be so afraid of the will of God. You can be so afraid of going forward that the whole time you are living in a complete standstill and doing nothing for God, because the whole time you're saying, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm afraid because I'm not in control. I'm afraid because it's beyond my ability. Lord, I'm scared and I'm not going forward. Amen. It's like that little boy in the Christmas play. You know, the mama went over the lines with him 1,000 times. He was going to be the angel, you know, Gabriel. Son, when you go in there, simple. Mary, fear not. When I think the first one was Joseph, fear not. And right before the boy's going on stage, he said, all right, sweet, you ready? Let's go over the line one more time. Joseph, I fear not. The little boy gets out there, and he's looking around. He's so nervous. He begins to stutter, and he says, Joseph, I'm scared. Amen. You can be that way if you're not careful. Yes, you feel brave behind the curtain, so to speak. But what about when God calls you out from the background? What about when God calls you out from the circumstance? God calls you out from your comfort. God calls you out from your job. God calls you out from your comfort zone, whatever it is. And God says, no, now is the time. I want you to come to the forefront. I want to put you here. I want to do this with you. I want you to go out there and do this. I want you to preach. I'm telling you, we have natural phobias and fears when it comes to the walk of God. And we've got to overcome them if we're going to do anything for Jesus. I'm glad during the first nativity, God gave us a bunch of humans that had fears, but God gave us a message to those humans. Don't you fear. Fear not Joseph. Fear not Mary. Fear not shepherds. This is the will of God. Man. Now let's look at Joseph for a moment. I want to say this about Joseph. Some people would say, well, he didn't have much to fear. You're crazy. I will tell you this. God will not tell you to fear not unless there was something to fear. Amen. God would say, don't be afraid. And if he says, I didn't even say that. I'm sorry. I don't know where that word fear comes from. No. God said it on purpose. He knew there were things of fear. We notice the first thing I want you to see is the spirit out of Joseph this morning. When we look at this and we consider him to be in an impossible situation, and he was afraid of the social rejection with the repercussions of the will of God in his life. Now the Joseph story begins in verse 18 and says this: the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, we look at that. We are blessed as New Testament believers. We can read that Bible and know what is going on. But notice this now. As far as Joseph was concerned, he didn't know if this child was of the Holy Ghost or not. He didn't know who this was. He didn't know about the phrase, the Immaculate Conception. He didn't know the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7. No one had let him in on the secret yet. Mary knew about it. Amen. We know the story. When we look at Luke's Gospel and in chapters 1 and 2, we find that Mary knew because Gabriel, the angel, had told her. But Joseph didn't know. He was in the dark. We know about it. Amen. Matthew tells about it. We're reading the Bible. And we instantly, sometimes, we stay in our shoes instead of putting ourselves in Joseph's shoes. We knew about it, but Joseph didn't know about it. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Now, when we read it from our perspective, what do you think went through Joseph's mind when Mary came to him and said, I'm pregnant?
Right.
Oh, I know you. I know we're spiritual folk. I know that. And you say, well, I know what the Bible says. What if you didn't have the Bible? You would think the same thing that Joseph thought.
That's right.
Come on. How are you pregnant? Mm-hmm. What's going on here, Mary? Well, we look at this and we cannot think that we would have thought any different at that time. We know this. Him being a human being. Yes, we respect the scriptures, but this is something that's placed in my heart, so to speak. What would you think when you heard that your engaged partner was with child? The very first thing that came to your mind, or would have come to your mind, is the same thing that came to Joseph's mind. Something ain't right, and we've got to do something about this. Amen. But let's look at Joseph for a moment, and we're going to move forward here. I think we'll preach when we've got time, I promise. We look at this, the balance of his character. When we look at Joseph today, Brother Shane hit us there yesterday so well, wish you all could have been there. But he was a just man. That's what the Bible says about Joseph. He was a righteous man. And we can look at the Bible and we know, we can see why God chose this man to be the father, the earthly father of Jesus. There was something about the character of Joseph in the Bible. Amen. I believe that he's probably one of the most underrated characters in scripture, because look at this man. Not only did God choose Mary for this, but God had chosen Joseph for this. He is a just man. He is a righteous man. And can we just pause for a moment and look at this? When I look at Joseph, he was a righteous man who knew how to be right in a right way. I'm going to say that again. He was a righteous man who knew how to be right in a right way. You know, sometimes we can be righteous, but be self-righteous in our rightness. That's a lot of rights there, isn't it? Now, what if Joseph would have been like, all right, let's do like the Pharisees did to that woman caught in adultery. Let's drag her on out in the streets. Let's make a public example about her. No, he could have done that. He could have instantly, in an impulse of rage, he could have went there and potentially, after the investigation and brought before the council of the city, he could have drug Mary out in the streets, so to speak. I don't know if God would have intervened or not, but follow me. He could have been right in a self-righteous way. And he was in the dark regarding what was going on here. He was completely in the dark. Joseph didn't know what was going on. As far as you and I are concerned, as we know this, in the circumstances that he was going through, he could have made a case against her, and he could have done something wrong against her, could have had her exposed, even if he didn't stone her. He could have shamed her and shamed her family, because you know what? When everybody's looking around, they're going to say, look, she's pregnant, and he's something, another man had to be involved, and it must have been Joseph, unless Joseph speaks up. Right? Well, don't you appreciate this about Joseph? And I'm going forward here. The Bible says, and he thought on these things.
Right, right.
He's not a man of impulse. Oh, man. You got to be careful, because we can be very impulsive. Mm-hmm. Amen. We can be pretty quick to the point. And we can even be right sometimes. We're not doing it in a righteous way. I often say this, you can have the right verse in the wrong spirit. Come on. You can have the perfect verse. You can have the doctrine and everything. We look at this, and you and I as well, when we find ourselves in circumstances, when we're going through things in life, and God calls us to impossible situations, and we can be in the dark about things, and everybody else don't understand what is going on. If we're not careful, we can become very impulsive and do the wrong thing. But here Joseph was righteous in a very righteous way. He was in an impossible situation. This has never been heard of before. A woman with child from God. You know, it'd be different if we had, you know, 50 reports in past history. Oh, there's somehow been a scientific breakthrough of that being possible. It never happened before. Shows you how much confidence God had in Mary and Joseph. And I thought about this in prayer this weekend, and I wasn't going to deal with it much. I still may not, but I wonder if God can look down in this world right now. Could he find a Joseph or a Mary in this very room? Come on. Can he trust you with such a high calling that he knows your character, he knows your obedience, and he knows that when he puts you underneath the pressure that you're going to stand? Or are you going to be like somebody else that cannot stand the heat of God's calling? Brothers and sisters, today we look at this and we know the situation that Joseph was in this impossible situation, but he served a God that lives in the impossible realm. He is the God of the impossible, and God can't do anything.
Right.
Hear me today. We live very possible lives. What I'm saying is, we live very rational lives. I can't help but think that God's going to do more than what he's doing right now. And please, I know I'm not going to say that to condemn you and say, look, you know, I'm a pastor. I feel more condemned by that than anybody. I want to do more for the Lord. We say that frequently, but sometimes we can become rational. I can't tell you how many times that in prayer I felt myself so stirred up that I felt like grabbing a Bible and going to the street corner, that I talked myself out of it before I got to the vehicle. Amen. Let me tell you why. You know, maybe, oh, you didn't mean that, did you? You know, were you really? Maybe that's talking to you. See what I'm saying? If you're not careful, you can rationalize. What in Joseph here? We look at the story and we know its conclusion here. We know what it came to, this inevitable conclusion that even though he was going to be gentle, even though he was not going to make a public display about her, look at this. We know this, that something had to be done. Joseph said, look, I cannot stand for this. I am a righteous man. But the Bible says this, as he thought on these things, as he was pondering in his heart, I believe Joseph had trouble going to sleep that night. You ever had something on your mind and you're laying down? And you get up and you're doing some of this? And some of a sudden, you know, maybe it's the ADD. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to move. I walk and pray a lot. I don't wear a Fitbit more often because when I'm praying, I might get 10,000 steps. You know, I've been on my knees for a while, but I'm up walking again before I know it. I'm like, Lord, help me. I need to get back down here. That's where I'm going to break through the Lord, and I'll walk with Jesus all day. It's just good. But can you imagine Joseph laying there? And his mind on his mind is saying, tomorrow morning when I get up, I've got to face this. Nobody ever been there before?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I've got to do this. Joseph saying to himself in modern day terms, tomorrow I'm going to make this phone call. Tomorrow I'm going to go see Mary's family. Tomorrow I love that girl so much is what he's saying. I believe he loved her with all of their heart. He's sitting here saying, look, tomorrow I'm going to go there. This is a nightmare is what he's thinking to himself. He's tossing and he's turning here. He's saying to himself, I cannot marry Mary. I can't marry Mary. He is in a nightmare. When this thought came to me yesterday morning as I was studying, aren't you glad that God can give you a dream in the middle of your nightmare?
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, all of a sudden the Bible says this. He lets us know that an angel shows up in a dream unto Joseph. Maybe he finally knows all. And Joseph had painfully come to that conclusion to put her away privately. He would go to Mary and her family in the morning and inform them of his decision. He goes to bed. He lays there. He's thinking of all the events. He dozes off. And he's having a nightmare, so to speak. But God gives him a dream in the midst of his nightmare. An angel appeared to him, and the angel has a message. And I love the angel's message.
He says, Joseph, thou son of David, aren't you glad that heaven knows your name?
That's right.
Amen. So one thing is God would have said, hey, get up, I guess I'm going to tell you. Joseph, son of David, he was on the same. Beautiful words he read. Fear not. You think he was fearful when he laid down his head? Can you imagine the pain in this man's heart? And we have to only amaze at this, that sometimes God does subject our calling to painful situations, like we learned about Hosea, and like we learned about many other men of the scripture, men that have lived over the years. There's times your calling is a painful calling. There's sometimes your calling is a fearful calling. But God looks at you, and he can interrupt your nightmare with a dream, and let you know, I know you by name, but I've got something to tell you. Even though I'm asking you to go to a fearful place, I want you to fear not. Take Mary as your wife. Amen. I remember when I felt the will of God, it was the will of God to marry Holly. I was happy. I remember I told you before, I was praying at the church and seeking the Lord. Lord, I don't want to marry the wrong one. I love her, Lord, and I remember having a peace about it. I jumped up, I got the cell phone, I went to Dunn, and I proposed that weekend. I said, you got 4 months, let's get married. And I'll share this just to laugh a little bit. The main reason I got engaged in November. And we went to set the date. They said, when do you want the date to be? I said, when is convention in Shenandoah Valley? They said, in April. I said, I'm sick of sharing a hotel room with Adam Chapel. Let's get married before that. Oh, boy, I'll never let live that one down. I said, I'm sick of sharing a hotel room with guys. Let's get married before convention. Amen. And sometimes we get 6-7 guys in one hotel room just to save the money. I said, I'd rather be married. I don't care if I can put it in a credit card. I want my own room. Amen. Joseph, fear not. You can marry her. That which is conceived is of the Holy Ghost. Now let me look at a few more things and we'll be done in just a moment. Notice here, fear not. Overcoming is social phobia. Notice this, Joseph, of course, had things to fear. Joseph was going to be misunderstood by everyone. He had a command to marry Mary once again and leave the rest to God. That was his calling. You obey me, Joseph. You marry that girl and you leave the rest to me. It's going to be okay. Could he have doubted that dream? Who was it? Old Zacharias there? When the angel spoke to him about John the Baptist. You know what he said, man? Yeah, the unbelief was there. That's what you have to say. Mother, look at him. God had to make him new there for a season of his life. He could have looked at that angel in his dream. He could have got up and said, man, what did I eat the night before? What's going on? Why am I having this kind of dream? But notice what the Bible says he did. He chose to obey and to believe. And that is the obedience that makes heaven smile. And say this, even though I know people are going to talk about me, even though I know that people are going to misunderstand me, even though everything seems like it's going south, I'm going to marry that girl because God asked me to, and I'm going to leave the rest up to him. Would have been wonderful. And then angel told him in the dream, I'm going to go to your mom and daddy. I'm going to let them know about it. I'm going to marry folks. I'm going to let them know about it. I'm going to go to the town council. I'm going to let them know about it. I'm going to go to the local rabbi. We'll let him know about it. So everybody in the town won't talk about you. Nobody will reject you. I'm going to go tell everybody about it and everything will be fine. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But he doesn't say that, does he? Nobody's going to know about it. But Joseph and Mary, we can talk about Elizabeth and them. But there within proximity, the only ones that's going to know is Joseph and Mary. Now, this is something that is interesting because when we look at this, we know without a shadow of a doubt that everybody in that district, everybody that knew about it, everybody there is going to look at them and with complete obscurity. They're going to look at them and say, man, that is a messed up couple right there. And the whole time, it's the will of God. And once again, ladies, please don't come and say you have a child of the Holy Ghost. We know this is special. But could you imagine the rejection that they went through?
Right, right.
Anybody ever been rejected by family before? Have you ever been to family and try to explain something to them that you know it's God? And even when they're actually have good intentions, but it still can just hit you wrong because you want everybody to understand that this is your family. But yet they reject you. Reject was being done to your life. We look at this. No doubt they went through that. Now look at the situation as we're about to come to a close. I want to read one verse to you that I often find is amazing. Psalms 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Next verse says, therefore will not be feared, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. What it's saying here is this, that He is a very present help, even in fearful places. One translation says this, a well-proof help in situations. Another one says, abundantly available in tight places. You've been in tight places before? Amen. So we look at this today, the situation as we close right here. This situation is of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say that again because I had to add that into my notes in prayer. This situation is of the Holy Ghost. Fear not, take her to be married, thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And maybe Joseph in his mind is thinking this, Lord, I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to be misunderstood, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be talked about, I'm going to be looked at, and this is of the Holy Ghost? Exactly. Brothers and sisters, how many knows that the greater approach of Christ is of the Holy Ghost? What if the world misunderstands this? It's all right. It's the will of God. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be talked about. But I'll be giving these encouraging words. Fear not. Amen. The life is the commandment today. Fear not. I'm going to share the story with you in closing today. There was a businessman by the name of Alan Emery who was in the wool industry. And one evening, he decided to spend an evening with a shepherd on the Texas prairie. During the night, in the long wait, he heard coyotes wailing, and it just pierced the air with such fear. You can imagine the situation. The shepherd's dogs growled and began to bark and peered into the darkness, not knowing where the noise was coming from. All of a sudden, the sheep, who had been sleeping, lumbered all of a sudden to their feet, alarmed, fearful, and bleeding pitifully. The shepherd began tossing. When the shepherd noticed what was going on, the sheep were being in chaos. They were so afraid. The coyotes were howling. The dogs were barking. It was complete chaos. The shepherd very calmly got up. It's not his first night of the prayer, is it? He got up and he went over to the fire. And he began to throw wood on top of the fire. He began to throw more wood on top of the fire. Eventually, the flames got bigger and bigger and bigger. And Mr. Alan Emery here noticed there that as he was throwing wood on top of the fire, he began to look around. He began to notice the flash of eyes all around them. And come to find out what the sheep were doing now, instead of focusing on the wailing of the coyotes, they were now looking to the shepherd who was going to protect them. And they noticed that night, they overcame the turmoil and the tragedy of that night, not by listening to the voices, not by listening to the howls and the barking, but by focusing on what the shepherd was doing. Brothers and sisters, in this life of twists and turns and tragedies, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about here today because some of you are afraid in your own spirit. You're not like Joseph. You're in a different situation. It can be family-oriented. It can be fear of doing what God wants you to do. For some, wrestle for years embracing holiness because they're afraid of what somebody's going to say about them. Whatever it is, you're afraid. What God would say to Joseph as well as He would say to you, you ain't got to be afraid of everybody. Fear or not. Amen. You're going to get a simple message today. Fear not.